920 WGKA.
Welcome back. Hour 2, Denny Radio. Appreciate you tuning in live from the 7th largest radio market in the world in the 920 WGKA studios in Atlanta. Show 177 rolling along nicely. I am Denny Schaefer, host of the broadcast. Well, here we are, months after the stimulus package was supposed to save everything. Unemployment was never supposed to go above 8%, and everything is supposed to be fine by now. Well, it's not fine. We all know that. And we have an expert who's going to join us right now. His name is Curtis Greco. He's founder of the Imperfect Messenger Foundation. Hello, Curtis. Welcome to Denny Radio.
Hey, Denny. How are you?
I am blessed, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Good to be with you.
Nice to have you on. What part of the country are you in?
I'm actually in the North Bay of the San Francisco Bay Area in a town called Santa Rosa.
Oh, man, you're up there by Nancy Pelosi country. We need to pray for you.
Yes, light plenty of candles.
Boy, is she ticked off at Bobby Gibbs or what?
Oh, yes. You know, that Nancy Pelosi is a very dangerous individual, largely because she's completely mindless and has no conscience. You can see how she functions when you monitor the functions of the House. This is a person that it never ceases to amaze me that she has the position that she does.
How do you really feel about her, Curtis?
Other
than that, she's swell.
Well, you know, it's only really, the point, I guess, is really not to bludgeon her, is really just to kind of make the point that the conflict that we see, whether it's in the stimulus package or in the mess of today's adventures with the Financial Reform Act, is really what a departure there is from a philosophical notion of government and as opposed to governance. And why government articulating its intentions adverse to the will of the people creates such utter devastation, not only socially, but economically as well.
You know, I think what we're really realizing, at least now more than ever, that the Democratic Party is for one thing and one thing only, to make the voters dependent on them. And that's it. It's not necessarily of doing what the voters want. It's to get their voters to believe that they need them, and without them, they can't survive. And that's how they keep getting reelected.
Well, it's an absolute form of a perverse form of codependence, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
You know, you look at it from the standpoint, even with the movement of the Tea Party movement, which I fully endorse. But the problem that I think largely has been missed with the third party concept of the Tea Party is, you know, the illusion to say that people are either Democrat or Republican is really false. Really, what you have is a nation of free-minded, independent-thinking people looking for representation. And the risk is that we have in defining the argument as either being one of a philosophical one, Democrat, or philosophical one, Republican, is really to mistake the intention of the voter. And that is the risk to the Tea Party. And that is, without a real clear agenda of what constitutes a fix, you're going to continuously have this migratory pattern of people flipping from one party to the other.
Yeah, but don't you think a lot of people want to like it that way? Independents really want to be coddled and sought after, and that's why they don't commit to one party or the other, because they're just fickle and they like the attention.
Well, yes, and I think it's also just a dysfunction sociologically in the country, where we have been bred to believe in the dependence of government. We've been bred and taught that government functions best in the capacity of a big brother, as opposed to self-reliance and independent thinking. And that's what creates these sorts of illusions, where you have this belief where government actually becomes, for many people, the solution.
If you're just joining me, it's Curtis Greco, founder of the Imperfect Messenger Foundation. The website is theimperfectmessenger.com. I have it linked up on dennyradio.com. And he offers provocative social commentary. He's also the author of Blind Vision books. You can get those two up on his website. And before we talk about the books, let's talk about this. It was February of 2009, $790 billion in a stimulus package was signed into law. And here we are, all these months later, and unemployment is still hovering at 10, and it just doesn't seem like people are, that it's worked. Tell me your thoughts.
Absolutely. You know, and again, it's one of those things where the people were sold a bill of goods under the hype of, if we don't do something, the financial economic conditions of this country will collapse. Now you're into it at approximately $1.3 billion in addition to the mandates that were included in the stimulus package that will cause that to potentially increase. But what the stimulus package fails to do is actually create a framework for an economic recovery. And that's the point that I draw on in a lot of my writings, whether it's in the Blind Vision series or any of my commentaries, is really the fact that what really needs to happen is we need to plot a course. The people need to rally around a concept of what I refer to as not a village of the mindless, but a village of the few converging on a common ideal. And without that, it's going to be continuous fledgling and well, frankly, lackluster performance. I mean, think about it. We lost 8 million jobs, right, in manufacturing and certain services segments of the economy. You've got the Federal Reserve out there with the TARP package, now estimated at about $4.3 trillion. And the end result of all of it is, where can you point into the public sector, in the public domain, where you actually see vibrant wealth creation functions taking place? I can't find it.
I can't either, but the Democratic Party and President Obama has been doing it. Joe Biden has been doing it. They're saying that all these jobs have been saved. I think I read something earlier this morning that the Democrats are saying that 3.5 million jobs have been created or saved. And by the way, they got a whole bunch of nice road signs that they've spent somewhere between 5 and 20 million saying that it's worked. So if the signs are up, it must mean it's worked, right?
Well, you know, it's great if you're a state who needs infrastructure improvements and freeways and interstates and so on. But the reality of that is a penetrating of the penetration of economic stimulus to a very refined component of the economy. And that is, think about it this way, road builders. Well, that's great if you're a construction company or if you're a contractor who owns a cement mixing plant, et cetera, et cetera. But what about the folks who are the unemployed engineers? What about the unemployed plumbers? What about the people who are out there who live and breathe the fundamental organic and native component of the U.S. economy, right? What about those people who are not on the gravy train of government subsidies, economic government subsidies that you see in the form of a stimulus? That's one of the failures of the economic or the stimulus concept, is it doesn't deal with the fundamental reality of what drives an economy. It's not top down, it's bottom up.
So, you know, I didn't realize that the stimulus bailout was well over $1 trillion. Gee, I'm surprised we haven't seen that all over the mainstream media, huh?
Well, who's going to report it, right? You know, if you look at this, the numbers they're reporting in unemployment, I ran a schematic on that subject. They're holding it right around the 9.7 to 10% rate. But if you actually calculate how the Bureau of Labor Statistics actually calculates the unemployment numbers, in theory, you can have a declining unemployment number simply because the country's running out of jobs that people can become fired from, right? So sooner or later, then you can look at the government statistics as they are on this, as you mentioned earlier about, you know, Biden and talking about all these jobs that are being created and or saved. What they're not telling you is in that calculation is not the jobs that are actually being created, but the jobs that are being recycled. In other words, people who have been fired and rehired. Well, they're counting those as job creation, right? If you actually look at the true measure of the unemployment figure in the country, it's actually closer into the 16.7% range. California, closer to 18.5%. I mean, these are not good numbers. And if you look at it from the standpoint of, you know, the promotional media concepts that are being driven by, well, the administration, the, you know, Obama's administration and the Democratic leadership, you're given an entirely different picture of what's happening.
And it comes down to who you're going to believe. But, you know, the Democrats said with the stimulus that unemployment would never go above 8%, as well above that. So how can you believe these guys on anything? And then we have today, our government grew today, much larger, as Congress passed the stiffest restrictions on banks and Wall Street since the Great Depression. And I can't imagine that our government knows how to regulate an industry that none of them have probably ever been in.
Well, and I'm I'm thrilled you brought the point up, because today they passed the Wall Street bill, otherwise known as the financial reform bill, passed pretty much on party lines, okay? 2,300-page bill. But here's this is absolutely fabulous. I call it circumslation, okay? And what that means, it's just a merging of three different words, and it's where they pass bills that actually only define what they want to happen, but they leave the actual drafting of the regulations to some other entity. There's 200 regulations that were approved in that bill that actually have no description of what they actually are.
Sounds like the health care bill.
Isn't that fabulous? What did Nancy Pelosi say? Well, we need to pass it so that you can so that we can then figure out what's in it. Isn't that? I mean, I'm sorry, but every time I think about these types of things, when you look at government, is it really any wonder that we have economic collapse in this country, where we really have a moral collapse as it relates to the people's belief that government can actually function in its capacity?
All right, Curtis, before you go, tell us about the Blind Vision books.
Blind Vision is the master title of a three-book series. Volume 1 is titled We Hold These Truths. Volume 2 is titled Value Given, Value Received. And the final book, which just released last week, is entitled Valor in Prosperity. It's a wonderful three-series books that actually can be read independently of one another, but it works best when it's read in the trio. And it concludes with very much what I talked about early on in the segment, and that is that we need to plot a course of what is going to be our country's financial, fiscal, economic, and political revival. And that's in the third book, which I refer to as a functional stimulus.
I think what we got to do first off is get on our knees and ask God for forgiveness for our wayward ways and all our greed.
I agree. You know, the good Lord sets forth a fabulous universe that is fully equipped to provide everything and anything that man needs to sustain and be prosperous and happy. I sure hope he has a magnificent sense of humor.
I can't imagine there's, different parties in heaven, Democrats, Republicans, Independents. I just can't imagine that that's up there, because it really doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right, because remember what the Declaration of Independence says. We hold these truths to be self-evident.
Yeah.
Okay? It doesn't say Democrat, Republican, Independent, Moderate, Extremist, Leftist, Rightist, whatever. It says we hold these truths. And I think we need to try to remember to get back to those fundamental principles and ideals that are the very bedrock of this country. And I've got great faith. I have absolute great faith.
I do, too. I think the country is awake now more than ever politically.
We're going to get them.
And I think we're going to see it November 2nd. We're already seeing here in Georgia and some of the polling numbers and all over the country. And I think there's going to be a big shift come November 2nd. At least that's my prayer.
Well, and I believe it's going to be answered. And that's one of the great gifts of talk radio and hosts like yourself, who are willing to stand up and be accounted. And not only in how you speak and how you deliver your message on radio, but actually in the completeness of how you function in your daily life. And there needs to be more people like that willing to stand up and be accounted for. And I believe you're there, and I believe you're right. You're going to hear loud and clear come this November, and my great prayer is that it doesn't stop there.
Curtis Greco, so much fun. Thank you so much for going on. Very informative. I have your website linked up on DennyRadio.com, and I invite my listeners to go check it out. Thanks for doing the show, and we look forward to having you on again at another time.
Hey, Denny, thank you so much, and all the best to you and yours.
Right back at you, Curtis. God bless.
Denny Schaefer.
All right, 770-226-0920, 888-920-2665. You have any comments? 20 past the hour, I am Denny Schaefer. This is Denny Radio on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKN.